A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me. Naked and you clothed me. Ill and you cared for me. In prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least sisters and brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal flame prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill, and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. It's obvious in the Gospel that Jesus has special places he goes to get away, escapes from the daily excitement that his ministry was causing. There were special places to him. You might call them holy places, because there, in prayer, he encountered his God. Places like the desert, the Garden of Gethsemane. There are certain places in our lives, too, that we would call holy places. They're holy to us because they seem to put us in contact with God. For some, it's nature, cool walk by the beach or around the lake. For others, it's a church or a chapel, a place that's quiet where we get in touch with our God. Some of us even sneak away to a back room in our house or apartment, light a candle, gaze at a painting or a picture of Christ, the crucifix, and sense that God is near. We know that these, for us, are sure meeting places with our Lord because they're peaceful places. There's something lovely about them. And when we leave them, we feel better, more in touch with ourselves and with God, better able to handle the challenges of each day. These are important places of encounter, and we all need them. In fact, Lent might be a time for us to find these places, go to them, and get a little space from our crazed world, a little sanity. Because common sense tells us that these are the right places for us to go to meet God. The thing about parables, though, is that they remind us that we can't always trust our common sense. What conclusions we draw about life are not always true, or at least not always complete. That's why we turn to scriptures for a fuller perspective, a way of refocusing our eyes, to see in ways that are not so clear to us or immediate to us, to help us draw conclusions that might not seem so logical at first. Today's parable begins, "When the Son of Man comes." What's very striking about this parable is that when he comes, he calls those blessed who are surprised. And they ask him, when did they do all the things that he said they did for him? Feed him, clothe him, visit him in prison. Apparently, they were doing these good deeds just as part of their daily living and loving. So they had to be told that when they did them for Christ. Jesus was there, it seems, but in a disguise that they did not immediately recognize. On the other hand, the accursed are placed at the king's left. They're also surprised. They seem almost arrogant, though, in their response. They probably could point to good deeds that they had done, deeds that they could feel some credit for. But it's their omission that earns them the left side at the judgment. They omitted to see Jesus in the not-so-obvious places, the places where he was in disguise. Common sense alone was not enough to lead them to Christ. They omitted going to another holy place to meet Christ, in the little ones, in the rejected, the left out, the ignored, the abandoned, the ones Christ in the parable calls the least. It's judgment time in the parable, and the standards of judgment are laid out quite clearly for all to see. How did we treat the least? Did we realize that in going to them that we were meeting our God in a holy place? When we think about the least, of course, we think about individual donations we make, help at our parish soup kitchen, volunteering at a shelter for the poor, sending money to appeals we receive in the mail, clothing drives for families in need in cold weather. But there are other ways to address the issue of the poor, especially when they are big concerns. They may require larger efforts than we as individuals can make. They may require the efforts of a church, of a concerned community. For example, these days in our country, we're hearing news about a recession. And so Congress and the administration are coming to an agreement on tax rebates, ranging from $300 to $1,200 per household for individuals earning up to $75,000, and for couples earning up to $150,000. But not much is planned for the low-income families. So the National Office of Catholic Charity, while it applauds the economic stimulus package for those facing uncertainty in our weak economy, also challenges us. With probably through the vision of today's parable in mind, for sure they speak on behalf of the poorest in our land, the ones called the least. And so Catholic Charities calls for an increase in food stamp benefits, for extending unemployment benefits to support those undergoing economic crisis, to ensuring health care for low-income people during times of economic hardship. And more, Catholic Charity urges that when these difficult times are over, that Congress and the administration must make a national commitment to provide long-term solutions for people living in poverty. For sure, we're going to respond to this parable by continuing to reach out to the neediest around us. But guided by our National Catholic Charities Office, we can use our clout as citizens during an election year to tell our elected representatives and those running for office that our concerns during our economically strapped times go beyond our immediate needs. We're concerned about the least in our society, the poorest among us, whose voice is often not heard in the chambers of power, whose needs are easily forgotten or neglected. Being a concerned citizen in a democracy is one way we can put our faith in action. A faith, according to the parable, that goes beyond our immediate concerns. A faith that reaches out in action to the least among us. The parable is a judgment parable, and it sounds harsh, but it's like an alarm clock. It wants to wake us up to something important. Jesus, through this parable, is a loving Christ who would wake us up. The scene in the parable hasn't happened yet. There's still time to wake up. This is a reminder story. Christ is coming, no denying that. It's a reminder that if we would serve Christ and be with him here in holy places, then we'll have to tend to those he calls the least. And there are various personal and national ways that we can tend to them. He's here in our midst, but it's as if he's wearing a disguise. It's not always a nice disguise for our sensitivities. In his disguise here among us, he might be soiled, sometimes loud, other times shouted down. Sometimes he might be persistent in his demands. Other times, he may need our voice to speak up for him. But disguised or not, it's Christ, all right. And thanks to this parable, we can see through his disguise and serve him and the sisters and brothers that he calls the least.